May God forgive Haiti in the springtime.
Amen.
May it rain again. Who enjoyed the weather today?
Amen.
Let it keep coming. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God tonight for being in the house of prayer. Amen. And I love that song too, Elder Mackey. Who's really willing to go all the way?
Amen.
99 and a half, just for me. I say I'm willing to go all the way with the Lord. Jesus asked Peter a question. How many times did Peter fail Jesus, deny Jesus? He denied Jesus. How many times?
Three.
So the Lord gave him a chance to redeem himself three times. In the 21st chapter of John, he asked him three times, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Amen. Three times he answered that. And then Peter had a nerve to get a little irritated. He said, Lord, you know, why you keep asking me the same question? Because he said, you failed me three times, so I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself the three times. Isn't our God a wonderful God?
Amen.
Isn't he a wonderful God? Amen. A lot of times we don't understand what God is doing because his ways are past finding out. We thank God, amen, that God is good, amen, that he doesn't limit what he does to our understanding, because we cannot figure God out. Anybody know we can't figure God out? The Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, oh, of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways of past. Every time we think we figure God out, God will do something new. Amen. We bless the Lord. And we thank God last night at our New Saints meeting, and we had two souls that got filled with the Holy Ghost. Can we say praise the Lord? And even before we started, they were ready.
Amen.
Amen. I know you had to leave early, Sister Jennifer, but you come.
Amen.
Amen. God's going to fill you as well, because the Holy Ghost is so important. Now, on Sunday, we went over, and we're going to continue that tonight, unless the Lord switched it. We went over your words and your thoughts creates your atmosphere. What you speak and what you think creates your atmosphere. If you think negative and you murmur and complain all the time, you will create a negative atmosphere.
Amen.
But if you speak positive, if you speak, Paul said, I can do
all things.
I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If that's what you speak, then you will receive all things because you are speaking it. Amen. So I don't want to belabor the point. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we'll finish up what we went over on Sunday. Our speech and our thinking creates an atmosphere. Amen. It can either be a godly and a spiritual atmosphere, or it can be an ungodly and an unspiritual atmosphere, according to the way we think and the way we speak. Amen. The scripture says, be not drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, mind to the Lord. That's the atmosphere. Hallelujah. You got to speak to yourself. Even when things don't look good, I got to tell myself. Self, you got to get up from this. Amen. You got to tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. My dependency is not on myself, but my dependency is on Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to read, we'll just read a few verses now, and then we will come back and read a little more later. Amen. Let's start the verse, we read from verse 28 to verse 37. Then when we come back, we'll go over a little more. Amen. Matthew 12, verse 28 to 37. And for those that don't have it, it is on the screen. Amen. Verse 28 reads, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me Therefore I say to you, all men of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, but in the world to come. Imagine that. If you talk against the Holy Ghost, you're finished. Because God will forgive you in this world, not in the everlasting life. You won't be forgiven. So don't say nothing against the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He says, verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say to you, that every idle big word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. For by thy word shall I be justified, and by thy word shall I be condemned. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said,
the word of the Lord is the best word.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I just want you all to understand the whole time. Now let's go back up to verse 22 of the same chapter. Amen. Once again, we're dealing with the fact that what you speak and what you think create an atmosphere. Amen. Either we can have a spiritual and a godly atmosphere, or we can have an unspiritual or an ungodly atmosphere. The question is, what do we focus and dwell on the most in our minds? That is the atmosphere that we are creating. Amen. Verse 22 reads, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebul, the prince of. So God is performing a miracle. Amen. There's a difference between being saved and being with God and being religious. Amen. Because religious people, their speech is always negative. Always a speech of condemnation, always putting something down. Now, the scripture plainly says the man was blind and deaf. Amen. So there's no guessing that. So when God, when Jesus healed the blind and the deaf man, the religious people had so much to say. I'm so glad I'm not religious. I just believe God. If God says, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Amen. When God performs a miracle, instead of getting excited, that negative speech created an environment. Amen. And it wasn't an environment that was unified, but it was an environment that was divided. So they're telling Jesus, who's God, you did that by the devil. Amen. Have you ever done some wonderful works for God and some negative religious speech? Religious people, you gotta watch religious people. Amen. God will be moving everywhere, and religious people say, hey, I saw a bed over there. Watch that. Right? That's how religious people are. You know another name for religious? Super holy. Right? Super, God is moving, everybody's shouting, and they just sit there saying, when is church gonna be over? That ain't God. Y'all with me? That's people that's super religious. Right? They can't get into it because their minds are thinking
negative.
So they can't see the blessing. God is moving on. They can't see the blessing because their own minds have spiritually blinded them. So was the case with the Pharisees. The Lord is performing a miracle. The man was deaf and dumb. And God hears him and he says, oh, well, you did that by the devil. Right. Well, let's continue. We're going to keep going on down. Say, verse 25, and Jesus knew. Hallelujah. No God, I got a God.
Right.
He didn't need nobody to tell him when they were over there whispering in the corner. Because he knew their thought. Now, y'all still reading Proverbs? We tell you every service. That was Proverbs, we read one chapter every day, right? So this is one day of March. The ninth day of March. So you ought to at least be on the ninth chapter.
Amen.
Right. So wherever you are, if you're on the third chapter, you got the double time and triple time. Right. Amen. But I told you just for the sake of doing it, because I try to keep my Proverbs up. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. Right. Because Jesus knew their thoughts. Why? They were over in the corner whispering. So when he gets to, now this guy can tell somebody really saved. Because a really saved person said, well, I whisper what I think and God knows it.
Right.
A real saved person says, so I'm going to keep my mouth in check. I'm going to keep my thoughts in check. Because I have to give an account for, as you read, every iota. Because God sees and hears. So religious people just, religious people are way about spiritual. Right? Because every time God is doing something, they got a finger. Those things say, if you got one point that means, guess what?
4 point
that you. You got 3 point that gets you. Right? Religious people always are negative. But religious people, Proverbs 16 and 28 said, a forward man stirreth up strife. Is it up on the screen? No one? Oh, okay. I know y'all have to. I'm glad I got up on myself for a minute. A forward man is a person that's self-willed. A forward man is perverted. The church is doing something good, oh, it ain't no good. Church does something bad, and it's good. Right? So a forward person, you never can do anything because everything you do is always wrong. Well, the Bible says, when you're forward, when you can't get on the bandwagon, if you're not a part of what God is doing, you're always stirring up strife. You always got something going because you don't have the right mindset. Now the scripture said when the Pharisees were in the corner whispering, he knew their thoughts. Why? Because a whisperer separated chief friends. Right? When you start doing all that whispering, God hears it. We don't think anybody knows, but God hears everything. So we just be doing all that. That's wrong. Right? God said, I hear you. He said, well, I didn't say it. He said, but you thought it. He knew their thoughts. So he goes on to say, so don't, all right, if y'all are reading all the Proverbs, we shall read one chapter, one verse, but you got to make the rest of it up. All right? Read Proverbs. I'm telling you, everything in life is outlined in the book of Proverbs. Every challenge you have in life, you will find it in the book of Proverbs. And I was just reading the other day some of our greatest religious leaders, for the last 40 or 50 years, have read one book of Proverbs every day. I said, well, I didn't know that, but it's a good thing to know. Right? Because Proverbs is the book of what? Wisdom. You want wisdom. All right? So the scripture said, Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself and brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself. The Lord is saying, if you don't get on the bandwagon and go along with it, every time you do that negative stuff, you are dividing the kingdom. You're not adding to it. You say, well, I was just thinking this. Why not make the tree good? And the fruit, good. That's what the Lord said, amen. So the Lord knew their thoughts. And let's get down now to verse 30. All right, we're dealing with an atmosphere. We're dealing with the way we think. We're dealing with, are we adding to or taking from? In church, the devil is shrewd. The devil's desire is to cause a little leaven, right? Because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So the devil desires to cause just a little confusion. I only said this, if it's not for us, it is against us. As a church, we can't build a church unless they're all on the same page. And the only page that counts is God's page. Not man's page, not what we think, but what does God say? Amen? So he says, verse 30, he that is not with me, this is who's speaking, Jesus. He said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me. So if we're not on the same page, if we're not thinking the same thing, if we're not minding the same thing, if we're not going in the same direction, he said, then you're not with me, so you're not bringing in, you are scattered. This is God. Isn't it so nice when God gives us plain examples for being unified? Amen. He said, if you're not with me, then you are against me. How many are on the Lord's side? Get God away from you. How many are on the Lord's side? Amen. If you're on the Lord's side, then just stick with God. Even when you don't understand, stay with God. So he says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But let's get down to verse 33. He said, I will make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit correct. For the tree is known by its fruit. Amen. In other words, your works, your action, your speech, what you do is your fruit. You can't be all negative and think that you are a positive fruit. Because a tree is known by its, you can't say negatives. Always wrong, never right, never good, and say, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. God said, wait a minute, you know by your fruits, right? By their fruits you shall know them. Amen. So it's so important tonight. Let's begin to change the way we think. Let's change our speech. Let's change our presentation. Because whether you say anything or not, God already, he already knows. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being, he said, your whole being is evil. You never think good. How can you be evil, speak? Is that right? That's what's the, those two words say what? Good things. What you think is what you speak. He said, how can you always have negative something to say and then turn around and say something good? Amen? Our speech, our thoughts create an environment. So the Lord said, you cannot be evil in your thinking and produce good things. It does not work. You cannot act ungodly. Thank God, all y'all act godly, so I'm not talking about you. But you ever see some people, they can never say a nice word, they can't smile, there's always something always wrong with somebody else. Y'all ever meet people like that? I never, a lot of you, not y'all. Y'all pet yourself up with that. Always negative. You know, I'm going to tell you something about negative people, they drain you.
Yes.
Negative people will wipe you out spiritually. By the time they finish, you want to go pray all night long. So I got to be like Jesus. I got to go to the mountain. Jesus, when he finished dealing with a lot of them, he said, I got to go pray all night long. When he dealt with difficult situations. Because negative people drain you. Amen. We're supposed to project faith. Amen. The Bible said we're supposed to believe from faith to faith. Not from faith to doubt. Not from faith to questioning God, but from faith Because the just shall walk by faith. Amen. So when you're projecting negative, that is not faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. By what? Faith. So faith does not judge based on what it sees, but faith judges based on what they believe God can do. Can we say praise the Lord? So even though it don't look good, even though it don't look like it's going to change, by faith I believe that God can do anything. And then the scripture says, he that cometh to God. Does anybody tonight just want to come to God? Say, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you want to come to God, don't come hammering, don't come complaining, don't come murmuring, but it's time for me to come to God. And without faith it is, the Bible says, by faith, that we call those things that be not as though they were. Amen. Faith. Amen. So Jesus goes on to say, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth. No, that whatever's in the heart is going to come out. Right? Whatever's in the heart is going to come out. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's keep going. Jesus says here, verse 36, but I say unto you that every other word, a word that are unprofitable, they could be malicious. Other words are just thoughtless. You just put it out, right? You know, it's like, how you feel? I said, you know, you ever talk to somebody, you know, you open the door and you talk to somebody and say, oh, excuse me, give me 1 minute, right? I'm going to close the door. I'm going to reverse this thing. And let's start all over again. But before I come back, I need you to change your whole attitude. I don't need that negative attitude. I got enough of my own problems. So don't dump your problems on me too. Amen. So you come, you know, so do this. You don't have to say nothing to somebody. Go to somebody and they say, yeah, you close the door. I make out. Don't say nothing. Say, how are you doing? Then go there, close the door. I'm angry, right? You know, eventually they're going to get it. It's like, well, what's wrong? It's like, will you please say something positive? Will you say something about faith for God? All that other stuff is glorifying the devil and saying that God can, when the Bible said God can. Yes. Do you believe God can? Yes. I said, do you believe God can change the way you think, change your approach? Hallelujah. And I say God can. But I don't worry, children. I don't worry, son. Hey, God bless you so much. Yeah, you did better. Hey, that's how people are, seriously. I mean, I'm just saying, I've only been saved for 40 years. So I can't give you a whole, I can't give you a whole lot of experience. 40 years ain't that long, right? How many of y'all 40 years old in here? Anybody 40? All right, I've been 12. Y'all ain't got to raise your hand if you're over 40. Just 40. If you're over 40, keep it down. Right? How many of y'all under 40? I'm under 40. No, I've been saved 40 years, so I guess I've been probably a little older than 40, right? But come on, you see people that just don't know how to handle life properly, right? Because what you speak, what you project is what you become. You have to change your whole approach. And you have to stop telling God. Let's believe God, amen? So get rid of those idle words. That men speak, they shall give account in the day of. For by thy words, thou shalt be
justified.
And by thy words, thou shalt be
condemned.
Amen? I don't want to get off track. Let me just read something here. Babes in Christ. Now, when somebody can say, a baby in Christ. Like, Zoe, are you a baby? Are you a young baby? You're not a baby? Okay. But pumpkin is a baby. When you're 2 years older than a baby. A baby and an adult do not handle themselves the same. You know, there's a difference between a baby and an adult. So Paul in writing, he says that because you were a baby, I could not feed you with meat. But I can only feed you with milk because you were not able to bear it. Right? So when people first get saved, they're not going to act like you act when you've been saved for 20 or 30 years. Because they are babes. And as a babe, they have to learn to walk by faith. So when someone gets saved, we cannot forget where we were at. You know, sometimes I talk to people, they think that when they got saved, they had to struggle too. They had to stumble along the way. Even a baby, when they start walking, they fall every once in a while. We forgot that when we were babies, that we didn't start off running, right? Because we have to grow in grace. Amen. And Paul said, desire to be fed with a sincere miracle. So we have to learn to walk by faith. And it's one step at a time. So we didn't just jump in it. So babies and adults handle things completely different. Amen. So if we're dealing with a babe in Christ, we say a baby, babe in Christ, you have to change the way you think. Well, they don't know how to think like an adult yet. If you read in Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about they have not exercised their senses to be able to discern between them. So we're talking about now discernment. Right? Now let's be, if you put a baby on the floor, right? The baby's crawling around on the floor. If a baby pick up a piece of food off the floor, what are they going to do with it? Put it in their mouth, right? Because they can't discern that they shouldn't put food in their mouth, right? And for all our parents, we went through this with our kids when they were little. If you leave your medicine laying around, guess what babies will do? They will eat it because they don't know any. They can't discern that I should not eat this medicine. Right, even if they find a piece of crayon under the table, and you see them when they come out, their mouth is a whole different color. Right? Has it ever happened? Parents and children, it happens. Because babies cannot discern. As an adult, if we see something on the floor, we know to throw it away. Right? As an adult, we can discern between what is right and what is wrong. So as an adult, we can't expect a child, you know, it's like a parent, a spanking child, because they left all this stuff around and the kid did it. Problem with the kid. The problem with the kid, you left it around because you were being careless. So why are you spanking the kid? You need to have a real long belt and spank yourself. Because you left it laying around. Well, as adults, we can discern between what's right and what's wrong. We can discern what should come in and what should not come in. But in the spiritual closet, that we allow so much of the wrong things to come in. When we supposed to have the spirit of discernment. The spirit of discernment said, no, that is not God, that is not right, it cannot come in. But we're saying that we take away that spirit of discernment and we let everything come in. And then we're shocked at everything that comes out. Because Jesus said, from the abundance of the what you just let in is what's going to eventually come. Where is our spirit of discernment? We're letting everything come in just like a baby in Christ. When we should know that. Amen. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're dealing with babes and just, you know, and adults. But as adults, we should definitely know better. I will look at you, tell you, look at somebody, tell them you ought to know better. But this might be a sore subject. They might not want you to tell them you ought to know better. Even though they are to
know better.
They ought to know better. Amen. We're living in challenging times spiritually. The devil is selling us stuff that ain't of God. Right? but because we do not use our spirit discernment, we let everything come in. And then when we find ourselves in a spiritually weak condition, we say, what went wrong? You let it in. Right? And Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of your heart are the issues of life. You ever wonder, how did I do some of the stuff I did? Because you let it in. If you stop letting it in, it won't keep coming out. Right? So the devil waits till you get to your weakest moment, and then he hits you with something, and you act in such a way, you're like, whoa. I mean, have you ever been to the experts? Wow, was that me? Yes, that was you. He said, well, how did I do it? Because you let it in. You did not set a watch. You did not set a guard. So all this stuff, if whatever comes in, eventually it's going to, it's going to come out. All it's going to take is the right circumstances. And it's going to come out. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I haven't been so perfect all my life. Can I tell myself? Hey, what? I'm going to tell myself anyway. Yeah. I'm not perfect. All right, see, I look too big. I'm not perfect. So I may even say, children don't say yes. Just
Yeah.
Yes. Y'all just ready to jump on this, right?
Yes.
We still can make a lot of mistakes. Right? So I haven't been perfect, but you know what? I'm telling you, can I tell on myself?
Amen.
Because I know y'all think, y'all pretty good. So y'all ain't like me. I'll tell you about me. I've done some stuff that I have to go say, Lord, please forgive me. How did I do that? You say amen. But honestly, I've done some stuff, and then I go back and I think, I'm like, what happened? What did I allow to come into me that I reacted like that? When I ought to have known better. The problem is, I opened myself up to wrong stuff. This is years ago, so don't y'all start trying to figure me out now. I'm telling myself years ago. And even though I will mess up from time to time now, when I first got saved, I did a lot of stuff. After I got out of self, I was like, oh God, please forgive me. Right? One time I was so bad, I went on the fast for so long, trying to get myself right. My mother told me when she was still alive, she said, son, can you please? She said, you look like a runaway racehorse. She said, your face is all drawn in. I lost like 30 pounds, you know why? Because I didn't like what I saw in me. Right. So I didn't accept it. I fasted and prayed, trying to change it to the point that I lost so much weight. She said, look, your lips and your jaw are all sunk in. She said, please eat some food. She said, you can't fast that much when you know how it's determined. That stuff that was coming out, I had to safeguard it. I didn't want it to keep coming out. All right? So Paul writes, he said, Be followers of God, amen? As
dear children.
It means you need to learn to imitate God. And what Paul does to draw the attention, he said, now, as children imitate their parents, that's how we ought to imitate God as children. So what we see the adult do as a child, we will repeat it. So what we see God do, we need to repeat it. As dear children. Amen. To follow means to imitate. Whatever God does, we ought to do. The way God responds, that's how we ought to respond. Amen. So we need to learn to be like Christ. Amen. Verse 2 says, and walk in. The reason the Bible says walk in love, because love will do what? Cover a love will cover a multitude. You know what? Yes, you heard me. Yes, you did wrong, but I forgive you. That's love.
Amen.
Right. Now we walk in as who? Followers of. Not follow yourself. Not follow what somebody else do. Can you follow Christ?
Amen.
Can we follow God? So the Bible says that when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile back. When he was struck, he did not respond. He was like a dead, like a lamb led down to the slaughter. He opened not. That's our, example. That's what we're supposed to. That's too much. That's what we're supposed to follow. Jesus said, if they spite you on one cheek, they're going to take a whole lot of faith. That's what the, when Jesus was giving them some examples, they said, Lord, increase our faith. You're asking us to do something that's very hard, right? Well, he said, if they spite you on one cheek, you're supposed to have the spiritual fortitude to turn on the cheek. These are the examples that we should follow. I wanted tonight, what examples are we following? When somebody get huffy puffy with us, then we get huffy puffy back. Right? Because we're supposed to be followers of, we're supposed to act like God would act. Amen. No matter if it's in a job, if it's in the home, if it's the husband, if it's the wife, if it's the children, it doesn't give us, there's no exclusionary clauses in the Bible. And you know what Jesus said? He said, what I say unto?
What?
I say unto? Oh. But then he said, a lot of people said, well, I did everything but one thing. He said, you know what? If you do all the law and mess up at one point, then you're guilty of all. This is what God requires of us. So we need to be followers of God. Amen. I don't have all much time. So we're supposed to walk in love as Christ. Amen. Let's skip down to verse 6. Verse 6 said, let no man. People say, well, you're all right. That's me. God said we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. Our action, our speech, what we do is supposed to reflect Christ. He said, now don't let nobody fool you with vain words. Don't let them trick you saying that that's not what God means. Whatever God says is what God means. So don't let people deceive you. Amen. Jesus said, Matthew 24 said, let no man deceive you. We're following Christ. And following Christ, we cannot follow Christ with the mindset of the world. It does not work. So a lot of us are on our way to heaven, but we don't have enough God in us to get us there. Right? Because when things don't go our way, we pull a... Now, adults are supposed to have temper tantrums. Do adults have temper tantrums? Y'all ever seen adults have temper tantrums?
Amen.
Do they? Do they? Mr. Murphy, you ever seen adults with
temper
tantrums?
Amen.
Mr. Simon, you ever seen adults with temper tantrums? I'm glad you ain't either. Yes or no? What I'm saying, adults ain't supposed to have temper tantrums, but we're supposed to be following Christ. When Christ had difficult challenges, he didn't act ugly. Amen. Even when he was on the cross, going through all that for us, when they start mocking and mimicking and spitting on him, he took it. And did not say a word. Because he's our perfect example. And Peter said we ought to follow in his steps. How can we get to heaven and call ourselves Christians and act on Christian life? God knows. God sees. So he said, let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the
wrath of God
on the children of
disobedience.
He said, well, God understands. That is true. But the Bible says concerning God and his word, God will not alter his word for anyone. The Bible says, whereby two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to tell a lie. So it says, the wrath of God is against all those who walk in disobedience. But people will deceive us and say, well, God understands. That is not what God says. God says we are to walk in obedience and not in disobedience. Because when we walk contrary to God, then we receive God's wrath. This is where God doesn't love me. God does love us. But he cannot change his word to fit our situations because he is God. So if God changes it for you, then he has to change it for me. Then if he changes it for me, he has to change it for everybody. So then the word of God just get all mixed up. And God just keep changing. But God will not change his word. So there are repercussions to being disobedient. Every disobedience, the Bible says, and transgression receives a just recompense of reward. So I didn't know it's wrong, you still have to pay. But the good thing about God is when you don't know something wrong and you do it, then you have to pay, but God makes you pay with mercy.
Amen.
So even though the penalty might require that if you want to use this term, you go to jail for 10 years, God said, I'm only give you a year.
Amen.
Because I have mercy. But you still have to pay because it was disobedience. Right? Every transgression, every disobedience receives a just, you can excuse it the way you choose. Well, God understands. God does understand, but you still got to pay. Amen. Because you're guilty. And thank God that he's a loving God. Because if he wasn't loving, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But because God loves us so much, hallelujah, when he looks at us, he don't look at us through anger, but God looks at us through love. Hallelujah, love lifted me. I want you to remind us, anybody that lives in my love, love will lift you up, hallelujah, and though you deserve death, God said, I'm going to give you mercy. Though you deserve punishment, God said, I'm just going to give you a slight slap on the wrist because I'm merciful. But they still got to pay. I choose not to pay. So because I don't want to pay, I walk in obedience. So it says, be not therefore, don't be a partner with somebody that's wrong. Don't partner with wrong. If somebody's wrong, say, listen, this one time you got to be wrong all by yourself. Because the Bible says, be partaker in. Don't partner with somebody that's sin. If they sin and say, I gotta separate myself. Because I'm not gonna have to pay for what you're doing.
Amen.
Now, a lot of times you say, well, I didn't say it, and I didn't do it, they did it. But you walk right alongside of them. I heard the whole saying like this. Right? A guy went to rob the bank, I didn't rob the bank. I didn't have the gun. But I sent the car. Right? So he went in and robbed the bank. This is true. Came back out of the car, I didn't get out the car. Actually, I will tell you a true story. I will tell you a story, right? And this, I watched this on the news, it was a sad story. The guy was like 6'5", huge, muscles. Like, what was it, like the Hulk? Y'all know who the Hulk is? Like the Hulk, right? But there was a true story, the guy, he was on TV crying, had life sentence. And didn't do anything. Right? And they showed the camera. His friend, they went to the store, and the friend said, well, I'm going to go buy this. And the guy's like, how are you going to buy it? You don't have money. He said, well, come on, I'll show you. So he went in, and there was a guy working behind one of the registers. He took his gun out and told him, give him money. The guy wouldn't give it to him, so he shot the guy right in the head. It's on the camera, right? And the big guy said, what did you do? Why did you do that? So he gets out and trying to help the guy. His friend puts the gun to his head and says, you don't move your necks. This is a true story. So the friend doesn't want to get shot, so he leaves with him and gets in the car. But the camera got everything. Just like our body cameras that we wear, it gets
everything.
And when you miss it, God got it. So when he went to court, the judge said, son, I got to sentence you just like your friend. Because you didn't do anything to help the man that was shot. And the guy cried and said, you know what? The young people, watch your comedy. Watch who you hang around with, because you'll be a partaker of their sin. And you didn't do
anything wrong.
So if you go along with somebody, you don't correct them or stop them, God says, unfortunately, you're just as guilty. Because you did not separate yourself from the wrong. It's all about doing what pleases God. I heard Minister Simon say in his message, he said, we always defend our friend, defending everybody else. But who there wants to defend God? Do we have anybody that just want to make a stand for God? Well, I can't go any further. that verse 8 said, for you were sometime darkness, but now you're in the light. So we are to walk as
children of light.
How do we walk? Like, it's not based on what I think. Our walk is determined or judged by the Word of God.
Amen.
God's Word judges us. Now, we can make up all the excuses. We can do anything. God says, I know your thoughts. I know your deeds. And the Bible says, God records everything that we do. And our word, every our thought. Amen. God records it all. And one day, we're going to give an account for everything done in our bodies, as we all say. Let's make the tree good and the fruit good. Let's walk in obedience. Let's tell God, whatever you have me to do, I'll do it. Lord, however you want me to walk, I'll walk. I just want to do the things that are pleasing in thy sight. Lord, I want to do what is acceptable unto you. If I lose 100 friends, I can lose them, but I don't want to lose God. The Lord asked them a question after he told them to eat his meat, flesh, and drink his blood. He said, from that day, many of them turned back, and they walked no more with the Lord. He asked his disciples, will you go? Also. Tonight, will you go with God, or will you follow the crowd? Salvation is too important. Time is winding down. Eventually, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Are we going to follow God and spend eternity in heaven? Or will we follow the crowd and spend eternity in hell?